johnsyndicate.com. Call 1-888-201-4201. That's 1-888-201-4201. Direct from the Vegas Strip. Are you looking to access the most powerful betting syndicate information directly from the Vegas wise guys? The same games that players walk into the casinos and move 5, 10, 20 dimes a game on week in and week out. Learn the secrets of the most powerful betting sources directly from our office to your ears. All you have to do to walk with that air of confidence is pick up the phone and don't stall. Make the call. Call 1-888-201-4201. That's 1-888-201-4201. Call now. Call free for your access password at johnsyndicate.com. That's www.johnsyndicate.com. Call now. Call free.
All right, guys, I am back. Another edition of Sports Insider Radio. Costi, you asked me before we went on the air what the angle of the dangle was. I got a nice angle of the dangle that's not sports related if you want to listen. You want to listen to my angle?
Go ahead.
Last week, Bitcoin was at 73,000. As the second I opened my mouth, we just cracked 60. We're in the 59.7, right? I'm looking at a Bitcoin chart on Coinbase while I'm speaking. Now, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't give out financial advice, first of all and foremost, but someone who's been a trader. I'm a futures trader, a stock trader, a commodities trader, a crypto trader. I look at sports as the same thing. What I realized is, you know, they always talk about, I don't know if you've watched those shows, Diamond Hands, Weak Hands, people that have conviction and stay with a stock or stay with a coin or stay with or hodl crypto. And what I realized is it just dawned on me, dealing with a lot of crypto traders and financial traders that subscribe to get advice from us, is that the only people that really can't handle variance, i.e. swings in markets, the only people that can't really handle big moves are sports bettors. Sports bettors, and I'm going to say it, and I always, you know, get in trouble, they're a bunch of babies. That's what I realized. Because in the stock market, you know, they'll circuit break the market if the market goes down 5%. In the crypto market or the futures market, you can have 15, 20, 30, 40% swings in a day, and it's no big deal. I had some guy that's been getting games for me since December. He was just telling me about the last 2 days of your baseball losing and whining like a baby. And I just took him off Telegram. I just iced him out. Like, I don't even respond to those people. I'm done with them. Just cut them off. Forget them. And because what I realized is if you're a sports bettor and you're not involved in any other type of what I call game of risk or game of money management or chance, you can't handle variance. Like, people watch videos of Dave Miller. People watch videos of Micah Smith. People watch videos that I've been doing. I've been putting out content for 30 years. And everything goes back to winning is easy. How do you handle losing? So if somebody bought Bitcoin a week ago at 73,000, we just went down to 59.5 while I'm on the show. Like, that's real variance. That's a real swing. That's a real dump. That's a real percentage loss. But most gamblers, they go 1 and 2 and they cry like babies. I think you lost a unit each night, Monday and Tuesday so far. You were 15 and 5 in baseball last week, and you're down 2 units this week. And you got people that actually have enough nerve and audacity to text, which again, on a personal level, I'm not surprised, nor am I insulted. Like, I don't care. I'm like a reptile. But what I'm explaining is, like, from one of the angles is that it would actually serve sports bettors to trade other markets and see what type of real volatility there is versus a very low swing of winning and losing. Like, sports on your worst week doesn't even come close to your worst day if you're trading crypto. Not even your worst day. Like, you could have a losing streak for 3 weeks. It's still going to be less than the worst losing streak in crypto in a day. And so what I explain to people is that, you know, when I talk to sports bettors that aren't involved in other markets, they don't get it. I'm sitting here, you know, texting our good friend in New York. His whole world is trading crypto. It's like, he just laughs. So, yeah, I'm going to go take a walk. His portfolio could be down 60%. 60, not 6. 60. I'm going to go take a walk. So what's your, you know, that goes back to the psychological, the sports betting is a business of pulling in newbies in this legalized world that we live in that think that they're going to make money with a little bit of money, turning it into a lot of money. Where if you're in the financial markets or you're in the crypto markets, you know that you already have to have a lot of money to make a lot of money or lose a lot of money. So I just think that it's something worth saying. Someone that's not oblivious to the stock market and the crypto markets and the interest rates and gold and silver, these swings in sports are so minuscule in reality that anybody that even flinches on a losing week or a losing day, it's just mind-boggling to me. So I'm done. I wanted to open the show with that. Bitcoin is now, look, while I'm talking, I started the show at 59.6, we're at 66. So we've gone up $1,000 in Bitcoin while I'm speaking. That's real volatility. Not going 1 and 2 or 2 and 1 or 1 and 2 or 2 and 1 or 1 and 2 or 2 and 1. That's real volatility. Millions of dollars being moved on $1,000 swing as I have a monologue to open the show. $1,000 swing. It's like a stock moving 1,000 points. I've only been talking for 5 minutes. Go ahead, your turn.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we've been saying this, I mean, for many, many years. As much as we try to convert clients to be more seasoned traders, because they emotionally are attached to every game, because every game is on TV, whereas, I mean, like you just said, the movement in Bitcoin, nobody cares. Nobody's getting excited that it went up a little. Nobody's excited that it went down. Nobody gets upset that it went down a little.
Right.
You have some background noise.
I know. Yeah, it was my spank out. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. And so there's no excitement. It's just paper, right? And as much as a sports betting account is still paper until you cash it out, each single game, because of the background of most of our community, is at some point they probably played sports or they really wanted to play sports. They have an emotional attachment to every single game, and they believe that while watching it, the outcome can change, or if your analytics was correct. So it's different in a sense, but the trading component of the volatility of winning and losing long term does correlate extremely well to everything you just said. But no matter what, it's, you know, unfortunately, not every client could be like our friend in New York, who is a non-emotional trader to the core. He gets it. There's no other way of saying it. And unfortunately, the other client you just mentioned that would even talk about the last 2 days as a performance-based response is insane. I mean, I could care less that I had 2 losing days. It doesn't even touch any of the concepts that we instill when we teach clients how to do this professionally or to be a semi-pro. Because what happens is it's no different than like every other client that wants to talk about losses. They don't want to factor in last week's returns. They're only hyper-focused on the last 2 days, which is irrelevant. It's, if you look at any single commodity, a future, a BTC chart, any sort of system, it doesn't have a linear line that is constantly just going up. None of them. So why would you think that would be the case when you're trading a system in baseball where We know we're going to lose. We're not playing heavy favorites. So when I have a losing night, I'm losing, you know, on the totals, I have juice, which is, you know, at times it's 115. It could be even as high as 120 because they leverage the totals differently, you know, over and unders. But that's it. You don't see me taking a minus 190 and then I'm chasing. Ever. So this whole concept of micro-analyzing data from 1 or 2 days is just, it just means that that client is not really dialed in and following the strategy. He's just a daily gambler that's expecting to win every single day. That's all it is. He's discrediting the fact that if he played every single game since we started the baseball season back in late February with college baseball and spring training, like none of that factors in that the model's up over 20% in less than 2 months. Like, so it's kind of, you know, it's more comical, I think, at this point, because we know that these groups that we deal with are for real. We've seen their data year after year after year, and we don't really get obsessed with the dailies. We just don't. It's just no matter what, if our homework is done correctly every single day, 7 days a week, no matter what, coming off winning, coming off losing, none of it matters. It just, that's part of the game. You're going to have drops and lows, and there's going to be a lot of highs, and it's constantly going to fluctuate. And it's going to constantly increase. I mean, we're still in the green from the start, from the first week. And we've had our other models in years past where, you know, to start out the model, we had a 40% drawdown. You remember that back in last September.
Mm-hmm.
But from that point forward, it has been in the green since. And it's been heavily in the green since. But if you would have been a client from day one, and you lost 40% of your role, you probably think we're the worst people on the planet. But in reality, a guy that follows the system and knows our reputation in the industry is really, really good and strong. That guy overcame it, made it all back, and now is sitting very pretty on, you know, 9 months in. So, you know, this is the thing we signed up for. This is the lifestyle we signed up for. We're going to have people that are unrealistic and have unrealistic expectations. And no matter how much we preach and we believe in it, unfortunately, the other end of the phone call, you know, the other end of the line, that person could be betting 100 million games on his own and losing money. So no matter how much return you're getting him on our side, It's like the best analogy is this, because you brought up Bitcoin. So if you would have bought into Bitcoin 5 years ago, let's say you're making a ton of money because obviously you came in at a low point. But what if that exact same person that bought in 5 years ago invested into the same amount of profit that he would have made for Bitcoin into shit coins and lost it? He's not happy. Because even though his Bitcoin has made all this money, he lost it all back with other coins that he had no business investing in. So it's kind of the same concept with sports. Our systems work. But do we really know that that same client is only following this system and not his own, you know, amateur approach of thinking he's a handicapper? And that's what usually costs them. That I guarantee you, I don't know the situation exactly, but if I had to take a guess, that's probably what happened on his own. He blew himself up, and no matter what we won last week, he probably still lost.
I hear you.
But onward and upward. You know, baseball is a grind. It's like I've said in my videos, it's the sport I watch the least, and it's the sport I make the most. Completely opposite of NFL. NFL, I watch the most, and I probably make the least. And that's only because there's less volume in NFL. I'm only getting in one good day a week in NFL of volume. You know, Thursday night, Monday night football, I'd say, I think last year, 50% of the time, we didn't play island games. So really, your main cash is 17 independent days. Well, in baseball, you get 17 of those days in 2.5 weeks. So obviously, the profits are going to be much higher. It's just, for me, I'm not a baseball purist. I could care less about the sport in terms of watching it, even though the Orioles here are doing big things and they're winning and it's exciting. I'm just not that into it. I've never been a baseball guy. So to me, it's all about the money in baseball. It's all about the money. And right now, NBA playoffs are starting. There's a lot of good spot play that you can make a lot of money with in the NBA playoffs. But again, it's low volume. The only sports that are going to produce the highest returns are the ones with the highest volume. So the more volume you have, the bigger edge you'll have because you're throwing out all those bad beats that are part of the equation. And there's obviously good beats as well, but when you're constantly on the dog side and you're not laying heavy wood in baseball, you're going to make money. You don't have to hit even at 50% to have a productive year. And if you do hit 50, 55%, which is really hard in baseball if you're betting dogs, but if you do, I mean, you're making a lot of money year round and it's the longest sport. I mean, it starts for us, it started even beginning of March, and it goes basically, the volume goes all the way to September. So, you know, it's we're just getting started. There's a lot of value. I mean, I know outside of our baseball channel, we have a channel that is Submarket Sports that's been absolutely slaughtering it. I know you have a group that you deal with that's doing live betting in baseball. That's been doing well. I mean, if you have the time to be able to invest into this, you will make money. The people that don't have the time, just stick to my pregame MLB channel and NBA. But if you're somebody that wants to put in more hours into this, you will make more money. But it does take more so than the bet it and forget it approach like we're doing with once a day in baseball and once a day in NBA. So if you're somebody that's willing to put in the work, man, you'll make more money. It's inevitable. And we've proven this for, you know, I've been proving it for a decade. You've been proving it for what, 3 decades?
Right, exactly.
So that's where we are, man. It's the
Talk to me about the NBA playoffs and how they drag this. So if there's a game 7, I sent this out to Jay Briggs. If there's a game 7, it goes like all the way, right? Till like, yeah, man, it's like, how can they drag this out?
No, it's good. I think it's good for the sport. It's a lot of people, like I said, are not huge into baseball from a watching standpoint. A lot of people don't watch the regular season NBA. They just watch the playoffs. So it has more. I mean, the only thing they dragged out was they made it an extra week because of the playing games. And then they changed the first round series to a 7-game series versus a 5. So it's about an extra 2 weeks and than what it used to be. So, cause the finals used to be, much earlier, about 2 weeks earlier. So I enjoy it, but what happens later on, I mean, it's what it comes down to, you know, in the last, you know, going into, I think, mid-May, where it becomes a standalone island game every single night. There's not even 2 games a night. So it's just, there's going to be action. There's going to be things to talk about. But at the end of the day, the programs that make the most are the ones that require volume. You can't get the necessary volume in the NBA playoffs. The only sport right now outside of the submarket stuff is in the main markets is MLB. And if you, like tonight, Today, tonight, I have 9 plays that I posted. 9 plays. We're not just betting a game. There's no big game. There's no game they can't lose. All of that stuff, when I get the requests from clients that call me, and they all say, what's a game I could load up on tonight? And what that tells me is they have lost enough money where they want to get it all back on tonight's game. They don't want to make back 20% of their losses. They don't want to make back 10% of their losses. They want 100% of their losses that they've already accrued to make it back on tonight, because that one game could send them right back to even or even in the plus, because they have either the credit or they have enough in their bankroll to make it all back. In their minds, that is the
so when I do the
solution.
No, I get it. But when I do the videos on the Pick Talks channel, I always say, like, you know, you want to have at least $25,000 to deal with me, not a $25,000 credit line. And so the thing is, there's this divergence. So you have guys like our crypto trader and other sharp bettors. We just talked to him. You know, I talk to him a lot because he's the most reasonable client that we have in terms of non-negative emotions, like really walking the talk of being a real trader. It's built into his he was trained to handle variance because he's a crypto trader, where I think other people just, especially that are my age, 51, 40 to 50, they're not trained, because in the people that never got into crypto trading or futures trading, they're people that, like, if you turn on CNBC or Fox Business and they say the market's crashing, well, the market could be down like 0.5%. And then that's the market crashing. So what happens is, I liken it to being somebody that's a cyclist, right? Some cyclists are sprinters, and some cyclists are endurance cyclists and can handle a lot of pain. I'm a guy, pain is my game, right? The more pain, the better. I'm definitely not going to be the fastest guy on the road, but I can run up a mountain and just suffer out 99% of the people that I'm, you know, I'll just drop them. It's the same thing when it comes to trading or sports betting, is that it's your pain tolerance. And I think a lot of it is how you're trained. If you go to the gym, used to be you were never a bodybuilder. You were, a power lifter? You would carry, like, you know, cars on your neck or, you know, whatever, crazy stuff. You know, the Ukrainian bulldog carrying pushing a car. Like, if you train like that from the beginning, that sets a bar, that sets a level of, everything else becomes easier because you just pushed a car up a hill. The thing is, I think what happens is with a lot of sports bettors, especially mid-age bettors, is that their pain tolerance is, they start at a very low level. So they're trained that something that in reality isn't a big crash, the media can, you know, old school people that watch regular news, you know, the market's crashing, you know, there's a war in the Middle East, and you turn on the TV and the market's down like 0.75%, and people are like ready to jump out the window. They don't really understand real pain. And so what happens is, I think the psychological aspect of it is, what is your litmus? What is your bar? Where do you actually start? And I think what happens is the younger generation actually has an edge, because they are used to such volatility that the smallest moves don't even make them blink. And what happens is, the older you are, your concept of what actually is volatility is really in reference to reality, not volatility. So like I said, if you bet 10 games today, which you've in the last 2 nights in terms of volume, we're going to get into that in a second. I think you had 9 games on Monday. How many did you have yesterday?
That's 7.
9 games?
No, I think yesterday.
Okay, 7. And how many do you have today?
9.
And how many did you have today? Okay, so you had 9 on Monday, 7 yesterday, 9 today. So a new bettor who's trained in volatility understands that's the right way to bet. The more games you bet, the better you are, because you're not putting all your eggs in one basket. And you're not being one-dimensional, like I always say on the videos, looking for the big game. A old school bettor or a non-trader will say that's too risky. So, like, let's talk about Big Al McMorty, you know, obviously in our Pick Dogs community, right? So
in terms of handicappers, the guy, literally nobody makes more money than that guy, right? We can, we already know the numbers. If you bet $100, $1,000 on every game since September 25th, you're up $233,000 non-compounded static, right? $233,000. Day by day, broken down, every day, everybody can see the numbers based on a betting system of one unit to 10 units. I lost easily five of his clients last season because their answer and response to me was, whilst winning, I can't handle the volume. I can't handle the volume. So is the client actually wagering for alpha? Is he actually betting for alpha, which means rate of return, return on investment, rate of return? Or is he actually looking for a situational scenario where there's a possibility that he can make money, but he wants to make money on his terms? It's like I said on my YouTube video. The easiest thing, the two easiest things to do in life, Costi, you know what they are?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
To win money wagering on sports and to lose weight if you're fat. But if I walk into any bookstore, there's 700 books on how to lose weight, and there's 700 books on how to make money in the stock market, think and grow rich, and this one and that one, and self-help financial advice books. So isn't it irony that the things that are the easiest have the most books written about them, have the most data written about them, have the most marketing about them? It's easy. You want to lose weight? Caloric deficit. Easy, done. You don't need, there's your book. One page. Eat less, burn more. You want to bet sports? Bet more games looking for positive CLV and expected value. And don't put all your eggs in one basket and bet 90% of your bankroll on the one game that can't lose. Now, when I say it like that, it's like, oh, that's easy. But it's so hard for people to do because even when given the opportunity to have it laid out for them, they fail, right? We all know on January 1st, everybody joins the gym. We all know by my birthday, which is January 31st, everybody's done going to the gym, and they're back to Dunkin' Donuts. As a matter of fact, we live in Maryland. Did you notice like one of the largest, and this is an off aside, but just shows you the psychology of people. What do you think the largest franchise exploding in this state is right now? We're literally on every corner you see a new one going up.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Okay. So there's your answer. Dunkin' Donuts. Right.
There's another literally one that they're building right like, there. I saw another one that they're building.
That's what I'm saying. Every time I see an empty building, it's a Dunkin' Donuts. So what I'm saying is that there's what you're dealing with, right? So, but the meanwhile, people complain that they're heavy and they can't lose weight. And what I'm saying is, this is the same thing when it comes to any financial enterprise. It's actually quite easy if you're not looking for the holy grail. It's actually quite easy if you can peel back the layers and be simplistic, right? All I've had to eat this morning was a bottle of Pellegrino with extra sea salt put into it to add more salt to my salt water. Like, literally, it's that easy. And so the thing is, from a wagering point of view, I think the biggest mistake, especially this time of year, is people don't like volume. Like a lot, I signed up two clients on Monday, awesome guys, both got it initially, both watched my videos on the PickDogs platform, and inevitably at some point in the conversations, how many games are there usually per day? And the answer is always the same. Who cares? It's not relative. Who cares? In a perfect world, and I want you to expound on this, because you're the one that's like been involved with like a lot of these, you know, like Dave Miller and Micah and, you know, accounts, et cetera. In a perfect world, you would be wagering your entire balance every day. Like in a perfect world, if you had $100,000 in a legal sports betting account or an offshore account, or you had a credit line for $100,000, you would actually be betting the entire roll every day with no available money. The problem is there's not enough opportunities that warrant it. So speak to like, this is the where people get scared away. Because the biggest takeaway of last football season for me was that people actually quit Al while he's the winningest guy on the platform because they couldn't handle the volume, not because he was winning. But just wrap your head around that. They didn't quit because they were losing. They quit because they didn't like how he was winning.
It's it's a very valid and really good point. And the truth is, everybody wants the easy route, like you just described. Nobody wants to take the route that
America runs on Duncan.
They don't want to take the successful route because it takes more work. They want to take the easy route out, which is, all right, I have 10,000 in my account. It's Sunday. I don't want to bet 15 games today and sprinkle it and have to watch the scores. And I want to bet one game, and then if I win, I'm going to double it and bet it on the that's the psychology.
Well, let me interrupt. They don't have to watch the scores. They decide to watch the scores, right?
Well, they will.
That's a whole other issue.
Our fans, our community, they're watching games. They're following scores. The pros are watching screens, but not everybody's a pro, and there's not everybody's a pro for a reason. Otherwise, they would be on this side of the table and not the other side. Certain people want to be like pros, and they will follow it in terms of following numbers, just analytical, and don't care about watching the games. But I'd say 90% of our fans and our clients do watch the games. So at the end of the day, they want the easy route. They want that one game that they can watch for 4 hours, and it's going to generate them 100% return on their money or on their bankroll. They want to cut corners just like we do with everything else in life. Now, obviously, in the position that we're in and in the hierarchy of this, you know, pyramid, we have to break the mold. It's our job to sway the clients away from that insanity of trying to double your account, hitting a 10 teamer, getting lucky on the, and look, society right now doesn't make it any easier. Everybody, if you're on all these Instagrams and they're showing the crazy parlay tickets somebody's hitting, they're showing you that it's no different than them showing you the somebody hit the grand jackpot on a slot machine. Everybody thinks they should be playing that slot machine because it could potentially do the same thing. So it's all about understanding how this stuff works. And like you always say, use the terminology reverse engineer. It's the same concept, man. You have to break it down to the basics. How are you going to be successful betting sports? It's not by betting 20% of your bankroll every day. And some people don't even know what their bankroll is. They just say, well, if I feel good about this game, then I'm going to bet more. What does that even mean? What do you mean feel? Do you have a line advantage? Do you realize that the line is off? Did you make your own power rating on the game? Like, what is that? What does a feeling mean? It just means that you just, from your gut told you that you could bet more on this game because you did a little bit of, 5 minute manual research and you saw the numbers that everybody else sees and you're going to pick it? Or do you realize that every game could lose? It's like nobody would go into buying Bitcoin right now if they think they're going to lose money on it, right? Can we agree on that? Like nobody 100%. Right now, let's say if they're buying, maybe not Bitcoin's, but any coin that they do their research on, nobody's going into that coin thinking they're going to lose money on it. They think they're eventually going to make money, right? Same thing. Nobody goes into a game thinking they're going to lose. They think they're going to win. Well, if you know you're going to lose 40, 45% of the time, why would you put 20% of your account on that one play? Injury, foul trouble in NBA and college basketball. A pitcher gets rocked in the second inning. Injury in baseball. Weather. I mean, all these different factors that unfortunately, no matter how good the analytics is, can absolutely still lose you that independent game or trade, is what we call it. So the only way to overcome the bad beats is to have a solid foundation of 1-2% risk per game. Some guys are aggressive. They'll go 3%. Most guys that have access to all our other products don't, because they're already getting a heavy amount of volume of their accounts spinning every single night. So it's the psychological approach to sports betting is just as important as following a system. If you don't have the talent and the skill set, let us coach you. I tell guys in my videos all the time, if you're coachable, you'll be successful. If you're a know-it-all, you'll never be successful betting sports, because you'll talk yourself out of everything, and you'll cost yourself money on the wins, and you'll cost yourself more money on the losses. It's inevitable you will be a long-term loser because of your inability to get out of your own way. I mean, we had a client yesterday that you had talked to back in October that you were very direct and straight to the point. And when he texted me yesterday, 5 months later, I explained to him, had you have joined that model back then in October, do you understand with your size bankroll, you'd be close to six-figure profit? He's like, well, I can't believe I missed it and I wasn't sure, but I'm sure now. So we spend about 4 hours of texting, a 30-minute phone call. And at the end of the day, he still says, let me think about it, and sorry for wasting your... No, you're not. You're not sorry for wasting my time, because you wouldn't have wasted my time. It's not like this is new to you. You already had the same... So certain people literally are not really interested in joining. They're just interested for a friend over a phone to talk to them. That's what I've come to the conclusion. That guy just needed a friend. He had no intention of doing business. He's inevitably going to blow up his entire bankroll, and he's going to run it to zero, and I'm going to probably talk to him next fall, and he's going to have that same exact expression where I screwed up. I try to intervene, man. What we try to do is intervene before you blow yourself up. And it's hard for a lot of people to see that, because they feel like their opinion, their strategy, their methods are this time, Eric, this time it's going to work. The last 30 times didn't work, but this time they fixed it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I apologized and I said, you know what? It's my fault for not contacting Eric first, because he had talked to you in the beginning and I screwed up and wasted my time. You are who you are.
The guy told me, no, what did the guy say on text? He texted October of last year. And I said, it's all there on video. Have a great day. And then I don't like your attitude. So, oh, okay. They don't like the attitude. It's fine. It's like, I'm not here. Like, look, I'm the easiest guy to deal with. I just don't have the level of, like yesterday, I had a guy call me. He's in a financial business. And, you know, I got a little aggressive at the end of the phone call. And I said, he says, let me think about it. I said, I don't want you to think about it. I want you to never contact me again. I don't want to do business. Like, it's nothing personal. What do you mean you don't want to do bet? You just told me you're betting a 500 to 1,000 a game. I'm offering you a trial offer for a week for 2,000. That's four bets for you, or two bets for you. You're telling me you have a $25,000 bankroll. It's just not for you. Head on over to pickdogs.com. Buy games from the cappers. Go to YouTube, get free picks spent. If your time, listen, everybody knows if you have the time, we know that there's people out there that keep notebooks. They watch every video every day that we put out on our platform. And you're going to have to invest. It's like a job, 6 hours, 7 hours to watch all the videos, write down everybody's selections, keep a spreadsheet of everybody's selection, and basically avoid paying and not getting the ratings. So when you give away 99.99% of what you do for free, and then you have somebody tell you I have to think about it. It's like, I don't want even that client, because that client is somebody that, back to the open of the show, can't handle variance, can't handle real ups and downs, real smashes and rises. Like, can't handle that reality. That it's somebody that is in a scenario where they're hyper focused on today, 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 today. And so I'm, like I said, it sounds crazy, but you know, there's plenty of conversations where if I was much more, you could say, charitable, or much more, I don't want to use the word nice, because I'm never not nice. I'm just firm in the fact that I don't want to deal with an emotional based client. If your emotional constitution is such where you freak out when you get, when you lose, and you're overly excited when you win, whether it's crypto, whether it's the stock market, or whether it's sports, fundamentally you're going to fail. Because you're going to have what they call, in this, you know, in the meme world, weekends. You just can't handle any, you know, it's funny because we're almost at the end of the show. The show started, Bitcoin was at 59,900. I stopped talking, Bitcoin was at 60,900. Now we're back at the end of the show. We've made a round turn back to 59,900. So literally, while just in this show, in that particular market, we went up 1,000, down 1,000, up 1,000, down 1,000. And that is the reality of true trading, not incrementally risking 1% or 2% of your bankroll on a game where you basically have no risk, even on a losing day. It's not a big deal. And the reality is people want to see their account go up every day. And that's just not the reality. The reality is nothing goes up every day. Even with Al being the best capper on the Pick Dogs platform, and making the highest return with his unit betting system for his, you know, small group of serious players, the volatility, while it seemed like it was immense, still can't even touch the financial markets. I mean, he had a 40% drawdown to open the season last year. Or if you had $100,000, your $100,000 was immediately 60 before you were, you know, before you came back and broke even. Even that 40% drawdown, which was like the biggest drawdown of the entire season, is like nothing compared to what a real trader deals with on a daily basis. And so I think that, like I said, there's, what's interesting is, because I've been doing this so long, 35 years, I was always in the world of dealing with stock traders and stock brokers and day traders that were into sports betting prior to the legalization, because it was an alternative form of trading when the markets closed. So, let's all, even though we're broadcasting this show in Las Vegas live on 107.1 FM, 1400 AM, you know, it's no secret. 99% of every dollar wagered on sports before it was legal, and even now, is East Coast, right? Literally, West Coast is not even relevant. Never has been, never will be, right? All the money is from New York City down to Miami. So the world that I live in is everybody's on the East Coast. You know, if I have 100 clients, 99 of them live on the East Coast. And the stock market closes at 4 o'clock back in the day, and then they have this like 3-hour reprieve, pick the kids up, go to the gym, have dinner with the family, and then at 7 o'clock the game start. Those guys were already trained on volatility because they were already trading all day. Now you have the legal sports bettors that are putting in their $100 to get their free, or $5 to get their free $200 promos with the sports books. They're going to cut them off when they win anyway. They've never traded. They only wager on sports. They don't know real volatility. They don't know real, and that's why I've been harping on in this show, because it's not really their fault. It's just a lack of sports bettors that have only wagered because it's legal in their state, unless they're a trader like our good friend in New York, don't get it. Only sports bettors that have been betting prior to the legalization or in states where it's still not legal get it. The guy that just started wagering because it's legal in his state is what the state plans to make extra syntax revenue off of. That guy's lack of knowledge and understanding what it takes to be successful in the financial markets and to have that long-term opportunity. Nobody invests in their 401k and or in their retirement plan with the expectation that they're going to make money overnight. It's where they're going to be when they're 65. The problem is most people just can't take that scenario and apply it to every other market because everything is about greed and fear, greed and fear, greed and fear. It's like yesterday, I lost on the Washington Nationals plus 1.5 and plus money. Well, you know I'm coming right back and betting them today anyway. Not even thinking about it. I got to put it out here in a second on Telegram when I get all the... I'm sure there's guys out there going to, now again, you're going to go again. Yeah. Yeah. Because the people that I deal with are on them. And if they're on them, I'm on them. And there's just, and I don't care. And it doesn't matter if the Washington Nationals lost 20 games in a row. What happened the last 10 games prior? And that's the whole thing of confirmation bias. Most people, especially in, nobody in the stock market wakes up and so the stock market was down 100 points yesterday, so therefore I can't expect it to go up today. There's an implicit understanding that it's binary. Just because it went down yesterday doesn't mean that it's going to go up tomorrow. Doesn't mean it's going to go down further. In the sports market, people harp on the last games. And you do it a lot with the live shows with Mitch and company, which is your again, I get it. You have to do it. You're talking about past results. But as we know from our third host that's here on the air with us right now, always Brian Blessing, he always used to say, throw out the last game. It doesn't matter. But too many people think it matters. We can agree on that because you do the live shows. I don't do the live shows. So it's a lot of it is talking about past performance with expectation of future results when it's really not warranted.
And it's, listen, it's everything we say, we have conviction behind it because we live it. Most people that we communicate with through this YouTube platform are daily bettors, and there's a small percentage of them that would be capable of sustaining to make money with us with the lack of emotion, because 99% of the people that watch YouTube are in it for the quick hit, the entertainment, the betting side of it, not the trading side of it. So there's a reason why, you know, on our private equity Telegram channels, we have less than 100 people and we have over 180,000 subscribers on YouTube. That's a
what was your
difference.
Record yesterday on your seven bets? What was your record yesterday on your seven bets? I know you were 4-5 on Monday on your nine bets. What was your record yesterday?
I'll tell you right now. So 3-4.
Oh, I got 1-2. Okay. Got it.
Yes. I mean,
so you're minus two games each day. So you got, you're minus two games each day in that account, but you're plus, you were 15-5 last week, which means you're still up 13 games. And I got a guy telling me he's losing. This is
Like I said earlier, he lost. He's down because he lost last week on his own. You didn't. I guarantee you. Once you talk to him, if you talk to him, that money that we won last week for him, he didn't win. He lost it on his own because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So, you know. What are you going to do? Our losses are small, our wins
I'm
going to
bet. Right. Exactly. That's it. So, you know, what are you, what, let's talk about the NBA playoffs because you kind of got off track of that. Why do you, I find it to be painful that they drag it. Like, I like the NFL.
Why? You don't even watch it.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, but it's not. It's different.
Well, no,
it's a seven-game series.
It's not. Well, no, what I'm saying is it's painful because you get clients that are such fans of basketball that while trying to make money in baseball because they don't listen, they usually go – when they go off the reservation and blow their accounts, they blow their accounts on those NBA games because they're losing their mind because they're so happy there's NBA. So when I say it's painful, I don't mean personal. From a personal video point of view, viewing point of view – painful that I'll lose clients because the NBA doesn't end quicker. Like in my world, the quicker NBA ends, the quicker clients can stop sabotaging themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, look, they extended it 2 weeks. It's not the end of the world. I mean, NBA finals. Actually, no. I mean, it's always been, I can't remember. I remember years ago, I took a little vacation back in 2016, and I remember that was in June, and I was watching the NBA Finals in June. So how they, it's, if necessary, Game 7, that one did end up going to 7. I think that finished a little earlier. So I think it's about the same time. It's always been like this for a while. I think you just see it more because they stretch it out early. But before, they would have like off nights, where now it's just like there's a game every single night, predominantly all the way to until it's the NBA Finals. It's for, you know, it's all about money and views.
Right.
They make more money when there's more with TV views.
What do you,
you know?
Let's end the show with, we got 4 minutes left. You're a golf freak. It's kind of not fun that Scheffler's so good. What do you think? I mean, I enjoyed watching it on the way home from Chicago.
I love
him. But
I love his game. No, I love his game. I think he's incredible. He's just, he's so non-emotional. Like, you know, I was on the morning show on Monday, and Mitch was crushing me because he is, you know, Scheffler has no personality, and that's not somebody you want to stand behind. And that's how golf is. I mean, you're not going to get the Tigers all the time, you know, with all that personality. Scheffler, the reason what makes him so good is also the reason why it makes him so bad from a marketing standpoint, because the guy doesn't show a lot of personality, a lot of excitement, which means that when he has bad shots in golf, he doesn't really care. He doesn't show it like other guys do in the sport, which makes him really good, because the mental game in golf is at that stage. I mean, even the stage that I play, if I become mental, my day is over. So I have to really control my emotions, because the more angry you get, it actually makes you way worse in golf. It's not like the NFL where you can get really angry and then make a, you know, play the rest of the game angry and tackle every single person, you know, or make catches or runs. It's a complete opposite in golf. You have to really lower your heart rate and slow down your breathing to be a better player. And there's the mental side of it. And Scotty is very, very good at that. He was a heads on favorite going in, and usually that's not the case for a winner, but the guy did it. He's won now 2 in 3 years. He's been the number one world ranked player for years now. His biggest issue that he's had was he couldn't putt. Now, when I say can't putt, he could still putt, but wasn't good enough to win over and over again because of his putting. His tee to green, his ball striking is by far the best in the game. Now he changed putters when he won an event a couple weeks ago. And ever since then, he's been a putting machine. So it's very scary for the rest of the field if he is this good now. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he won a Grand Slam and won all the majors in the same year, because that's where he's going. Now, obviously, injuries, and I know he's about to have the birth of his first child. So I don't know if that side, you know, his commitment, but these golfers, they're OCD. They're committed to the game. They're playing every day, practicing every day, getting better every day, because you have to. If you don't, you'll get, somebody else will be at practicing way more than you and beat you. So that's their mindset. It's an amazing game, and it's really cool to see.
Well, with that being said, we're going to be closing out another show here at Sports Insider Radio. We'll be back next week. Good day and good luck.